Bible says that those who marry will have trouble. Don't know really how to respond to that. I just kind of laugh. Some of you are like, you know, no amens. I didn't hear a single amen with that. No one just everybody just chuckles. Yeah, well, it's true, right? Maybe. There's a lot of reasons why we get married. And we're in a series called Ask the Author, and today's question is why marriage? Why marriage? Some of you don't nod right now. That'd be a bad thing to do if you're married. And say, yeah, that's a good question. No. There's a lot of reasons why we get married. Some marry just to be happy, right? Problem is, once you're not happy, then you don't want to be married anymore. Some marry for love until they feel unloved. Then they don't want to be married anymore. Some marry for money. And then when the money's gone, why be married, right? There's lots of reasons we have that we put into place or we try to chase after to do this thing called marriage. But it just so happens, that we have been digging around to find the answer. And you know, we actually found it on film. It's been immortalized for us forever to have the reason of why get married. Are you ready for this? Are you ready to have the answer to this question? This is going to solve everything. We're going to get out of church early. Here it is. You ready? Watch this.
Hello? Hello? I'm looking for my wife. I miss my wife. I love you. You complete me. And I just have...
Shut up. You had me at hello. Hello.
That's just so sweet, isn't it?
All right, that works great in film, but it is horrible for real life. Horrible. If you're looking for somebody to complete you, you need to look in a different direction. You need to look inside, because if you are not a complete person, when you walk into a relationship, you are going to find out how devastatingly poor of an idea that was. Yep. All right. People know. It doesn't work. That is not why we get married. Even though it's a great line. You had me at hello. We're going to look at what the author says and try to find out why marriage. What is this? How does this work? Why does it work? And I know we are a very diverse group. And I want to give you a little bit of permission right now to just think, put your excuses aside, put aside how you got to where you're at. Because sometimes that can keep us from getting to where we need to go, is we're looking back too much instead of looking forward. So I want to just give you permission to feel, to think, to process, and to hear from what God has to say for you in your situation. And compare your situation to what the author is going to explain to us, what he's going to share with us, and how he challenges us, and how does that challenge you in your life. Can we do that? Yes. You with me? All right. I want to give you two books. Just write these down. You may want to refer to them later, that have really helped me in my study, my journey to get to this place. One book is called Loveology. Loveology. Just write it down. You may say, I don't want to read it later, but you'll have it. That way you can refer back to it. Loveology. The other thing is Francis and Lisa Chan wrote a book called You and Me Forever. You and Me Forever. And they did it together. It's on marriage. So it's a great book to challenge you with. Now, another thing I want to do as we get going here, it doesn't matter whether you're married or single. This is about you and the concept of oneness that Glenn introduced last week in this series. There's a lot of things we can learn about our relationships, and it starts with ourselves, and then that moves into other relationships. And that's where we have to start and begin with, is looking at our own life and our own experience of oneness, and then we can move further into that. So I want to just give you that permission just to say, okay, I'm going to see what this is all about. I want to listen. It doesn't matter whether you're married, single, living together, or whatever your experience and situation is right now. I want to challenge you to say, here's what the author says. And then just begin to put that into your life and say, okay, this is where I'm at. This is where I need to go. How do I make changes to get there? So let's start Genesis chapter 1. And we'll begin with what the author said in the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26. So this picture is incredible. All of chapter 1, here is God creating all everything. This amazing book, this amazing, just all of this chapter, one chapter explains all of creation. It's amazing at the end of it, at the end of each of these little passages that he talks about what he created that day. He says, and it was good. God, in his united effort, in his oneness, creating, putting it all together and saying, and it was good, and it was good, over and over, and it was good. And then he says in verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, created on purpose. You and I were created on purpose, not accidentally. And some of us look, and all the time, we're looking at why God, why that, why this, why that. We're always asking, 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 instead of living in the purpose that God has for us. We try to get out of the purpose instead of embracing the purpose and walking into it. Created on purpose. But it wasn't just on purpose that God created man. He also created man for a purpose. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over. Rule over. And some of you look at that and go, oh, we get to wear a crown and be dominate and dominate everything and have everything bend to our will. No. To rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and the livestock, all of creation. God created man on purpose, not accidentally, on purpose, and gave him a job. Gave him purpose. Turn to that. Next page. Verse 31. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. So here is God creating, making this creation beautiful and good, and creating mankind to care for it. Let's look in chapter 2, verse 15. This is where God gets very specific about the creation of man and what he has done. So in verse 15, chapter 2, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to do his purpose, to work it and to care for it. Think about that. God, who has spent all of this time and energy creating from nothing something that is beautiful, that is peaceful, that is tranquil, that lives together. All of these animals and all of these trees and all of this ecosystem that works together. He's created all of that. And then he says, I'm going to create a caretaker. On purpose, for a purpose. And he creates man to care for what he has made. I want you to start thinking about that question in your own life. Can you be described, will you describe yourself as somebody who cares for what God has made? That is your purpose. You've been created on purpose. You're not an accident, for a purpose. That purpose is to care for what God has made. Now we look at that and go, oh, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a missionary. I mean, that's not what we're talking about. God has created you on purpose with all of your strengths, with all of your abilities, with all of your personality. He's created that for a purpose. That purpose is involved with the expression of all of your life is targeting taking care of his creation. We all do that in so many different ways. But a lot of times we ignore that piece. We think God has given us all this talent, these abilities to live life the way we want to. Yeah, he's given us that freedom, but that's not the purpose he created you for. He created you and I to care for his creation. What does that look like for you? Each of us have been given that purpose. What does it look like for you? I was sitting at the baseball game on Friday night. It's kind of fun as my daughters are growing up. My 21-year-old took me to dinner and a game and paid for it all. It was great. I recommend letting your children grow up. It's a good thing. Especially when they get jobs. It's even better. So we're sitting there at the game, U of A game, having a great time, surrounded by all these people, a lot of students. And I began to wonder, who is going to reach them with the love of God? And I began to, I'm a people watcher anyway, and so I was watching, I was like, do they know God? Do they know God's love? Do they know what God went through for them? And then I started thinking, who's going to tell them? How could I possibly get in a place where, you know, it's kind of weird. This old man in the back row starts tapping these college students. I say, hey, do you know God? You know, go to church anywhere? Hey, tell me your story. And it's just, that's probably going to get me thrown out of here. So about an inning later, after I miss a whole inning thinking and dwelling on this, I realize it's our job. God's people, people who live on purpose and they understand I have a purpose. It's my job. It's your job. To care for God's creation, and that means loving his people. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, starting in verse 19. Jesus is saying and passing off purpose to his disciples. He's getting ready to leave. His purpose is fulfilled, and he gives to them the same thing that God gives to Adam. I'm giving you something to do. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Don't just live life. Teach them about me. Share with them how much I love them. Teach them to follow. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you to the very end of the age. I will not leave you alone in your purpose. But your purpose is to go and care for my creation. Last night I was visiting over in a room we call Next Steps. We call it that because we want to know and help you to know what your next step is. If how I have been living has led me to this place, is that where I want to continue to be, or do I want to know what my next step is? Do you realize over the last 2 weeks, 25 people have stepped forward to be baptized? Very exciting. Last night I saw one of them in Next Steps. She has jumped right into a starting point that began. One of our 6 week classes that tells us and helps people integrate and say, hey, this is what Pantano, the heart of Pantano is. And so she was in that. And she goes, yeah, we're going to take the compass in 2 more weeks. Now, the compass is a spiritual inventory that we've given to help you and I say, this is where you're at, and this is the next step you can take to get to the next place, to continue to grow. And she goes, we're not going to do this for 2 more weeks. I don't want to wait that long. I got a fire burning. I want to do something more. I want to know what's next. So she was in there taking the compass, filling it all out and going, okay, now what do I do? What do I do? I want to grow. She's somebody who's getting in touch with her purpose, realizing I have a purpose. How I've been living, how I was living, that's not what God intended. Where I'm going, that's what I want to pursue. That's purpose. Living life on purpose. What that looks like for you, I don't know. Fortunately, I don't have to figure that out. You get to. Right? So you say, take everything that God created in you and say, how do you use that to take care of what God has created? So, knowing all that, why marriage? Turn with me back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, starting verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. I want to encourage you as you start thinking, maybe you are thinking about marriage, you're looking forward at some point, if you find somebody that has no purpose, just walk away now. Don't think, oh, they're really cute, I want to get to know them. Or, hey, maybe we could, no. Because it won't be very long and you'll look at them and go, you have no purpose. Yeah, I didn't have a purpose when I met you. Why would I have one now? Okay, so just move beyond that. Just say, it was nice to meet you and go on. Verse 18. So here is God creating man, putting him in the garden, and we have this really difficult Hebrew concept that comes up. Verse 18. The Lord God said, it is not good. Now remember, we've just looked at chapter 1. It says that God said it was good, it was good, it was good. He gave man a purpose, put him in the garden, said, now I want you to work it, I want you to take care of it. And then he says, oh, this isn't good. Now, I did some research on this Hebrew word here, the concept here. It's really difficult. I'll see if I can say it, even pronounce it right. It's God said, ready? Oops. It's not that God made a mistake. He looked down and he said, I have given this man all of this to do. And he's alone in his purpose. He can't possibly do this alone. So what did he do? God said, I will make a helper suitable for him. Now this isn't a servant to help him, which sometimes men I've heard use that way. Well, you're my helper. Yeah. Say that to your wife when you're working on a project and say, can you just hand me that, just shut up and hand me that wrench over there. See how that feels when it hits you in the head. This is not that kind of helper. This is a partner. Think about it. Adam is in charge of God's creation. Now, I have this weird picture. I don't know whether God gave him a referee uniform to wear when he went out and split up the lions and the tigers and, you know, the elephants and was there arguing, you know, with the rhinoceroses or whatever. I don't know. He had a whistle and he would blow it and stop the fight. I don't know. I wonder what work is that he has to do with his creation. But God gave him that purpose. Take care of what I have made. That job on our own is too much. Now hear me when I say, if you are single and living single, if you are married, it applies to all of us. We have a job. You may not get married, but the job of caring for God's creation is still too much for you alone. But you're not alone. If you're pursuing oneness with God and oneness in purpose, there will be others who join you to accomplish that purpose. But if you're just living life, doing it the Hollywood style, waiting for somebody to complete you, it's an empty road that doesn't go very far. But God says, I will not leave you alone in the purpose that I have given you. Jesus said to his disciples, I will be with you always. He joins us. It's amazing what he begins to say. And then God, in verse 24, leverages this and says, I want you to understand, this is a template for marriage. This is why marriage. That is why a man, why? That is why a man will leave his father. Why? He says, that is why. Why will we leave our family? Because we join somebody, we unite with somebody else in purpose to care for God's creation. That is why we leave father and mother and be united to his wife, and to a man will leave them and be united to his wife, and they become one flesh. The unity is not about all of the reasons why we want to get married, all those Hollywood reasons. It's about being united in a purpose for the kingdom. That is why. And God speaks, and I say this as a template for marriage, because if you'll notice that Adam and Eve, last time I looked, they didn't have a mom and a dad to leave. Right? Being the first and being God's creation, they didn't have someone to leave, but they still had purpose. And God kind of, this narrator, kind of speaks into this text and says, and by the way, this is how it's going to be. And you and I, all we know, if you have been married very long and you've struggled with your family, because your family tries to keep you sometimes, some of you have felt that, is like they won't let their son or their daughter go, and you're competing with mom, stepmom, you are not stepmom, but your mother-in-law, the in-laws are trying to pull you apart, and they never did like you in the first. I mean, there's all of these things, these dynamics start happening. Some of you are snickering, I know, I see it. You've experienced that. That's, God says you got to leave that, because that's not your purpose anymore, is to be a part of that family. Your purpose is to take care of God's creation, the way he's uniquely gifted you to do. Now, I get that some of you are here and your partner isn't. In fact, you're not really partners. And some of you are here and you're not really partners. You just kind of live together, even though you're married. And some of you are just cohabitating. You're not married at all. It's because we've become so disillusioned with this idea of marriage. God says purpose will help you understand why. If you're living without purpose individually, I guarantee you're living without purpose in a marriage. If you're living without purpose in a marriage, what do you have? You got two people looking for someone else to complete them, and you got a mess. God says you leave that. You come together for my purpose. And Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. In this kind of harmony, the template that God has set out for marriage is that we can be together for him, and we can be together without shame. We can be together enjoying his purpose, united, intimate, moving forward. Not arguing and fighting. I want to encourage you to just consider for a few minutes where you're at. What your relationships look like. Whether you are single and just saying, I have no purpose in my life. Great. Do somebody else a favor who you might meet later. Find that purpose. It will make their lives either easier later and better and richer and fuller. And it will make your life fuller. Don't stop pursuing happiness when there's joy out there to be found. But that joy comes when we're looking to live out and care for the purpose that God has designed us for, and that's to take care of his creation. I want you just to think about where you're at. Just evaluate where you're at in your own relationships. Brian and Kate came to me and asked me to help them prepare for their marriage and do some premarital counseling with them. So one of my common questions is, as I look at couples, just getting to know them a little more and saying, so tell me your story. How did you know? How do you know that this is the right person sitting next to you right now? And Kate, without missing a beat, just looked at me and says, I was pursuing God with all my heart, chasing after him, trying to find him in everything that I did. And I looked next to me, and Brian was right there. That's a great picture of oneness. That's the picture that God has designed for you and I, to pursue that kind of oneness. Now, I told you I wanted to give you permission to wrestle. I want you to continue to give you that permission, because I want you to wrestle with this. Because I know your relationships are in all different kinds of places. It's not about where you've been. It's about where you decide to go. God has given us great freedom to say, okay, I will use your past, but I really want to use your present and your future if you'll follow me. So he encourages us to live life on purpose. And he encourages us to have marriage, to get married on purpose for a purpose. Now let me give you a couple of tools with that, because some of you are going, I don't know where to start. So let me give you some practical things that might help you Say, all right, I want to have a marriage on purpose, and I know ours is just, you know, the chaos of life rules us, and that's our purpose. So let me give you some small steps so you can start reaching to the big steps. Because there's some of you who are doing a great job with that. You know your marriage has a purpose. You have a purpose as a couple. You are living it out. You have adopted villages. You've adopted schools. You've adopted ministries. You are just neck deep in doing and caring for what God has called you to do, is to care for His creation. And some of you, I don't even know how to do that. So let me give you just some easy things to start with. Here's a really simple one. You can start today. You can go home and walk your street. Just walk your street and see how many people you can name along your street. And begin to pray for the people you know, and then to pray that God will bring the people you don't know outside so you can talk to them and start building a relationship. Just start there. Very simple. But you together, walking side by side, enjoy the walk and spend time thinking about others and not just about yourselves. Pretty simple. Find a single parent or a family that you know is just overwhelmed and just tell them, you know what, we're going to bring dinner tomorrow night. Is that okay? And then don't go buy dinner at Costco or KFC or someplace. Go into your kitchen together, make the meal together, and then take it to them together. Side by side, meeting somebody else's need. Caring for God's creation. Find a way to serve together. Now, you can get larger and smaller, but if you're in a place where you're not doing that very well at all, find a small place that you can stand side by side and serve someone. It could be your neighbor. It could be just somebody along the street whose front yard is a foot high with weeds. Together, go and see if you can help them with that problem. Serve them. Pull their weeds. Find a way to serve someone else. Another thing that's a little harder to do for a lot of couples, pray together every day for one another, together, out loud. Got more difficult as it went along, huh? Some of you are like, oh, you don't pray together. Yeah. It may start with a sentence. It may start with a nod in agreement. But begin to work on that. As you seek oneness with God, seek oneness with each other, and begin to pray for one another. Pray, and you can start simple. God, pray that we understand who you are in our own lives, and pray that we together understand what you would have us do. And by the way, if you're not married, all these things still work for you. These are all things that you can do, because who knows who you will meet walking up and down your street praying for your neighbors. There may be somebody else doing that exact same journey, looking for somebody else, wondering, God, I'm doing this for you. Next thing you know, you're walking side by side down the street praying for your neighbors. I can't tell you how it's going to work out. But I can promise you that God is pretty clear with His promises. He says, this is the template. We leave all that other stuff to join with Him, to be one with Him in His purpose, in caring for His creation. You live that out personally, and you look around and see who else is walking with you, knowing that He gave you a big job and He knows that you can't do it alone, that He wants to walk with you in that journey. There's another resource that we have. Besides those two books I gave you, which are a great read, especially as a married couple you're really struggling through, read through Loveology. Read through that and just start, struggle with it together and unpack it. But we have another resource. It's right here on campus. Every Sunday, every Saturday, it's open. It's a room we call Next Steps. And it's a place where you can go and say, what's my next step? You can literally walk in and go, I don't know. I don't have a clue what I should do next. Okay. They're not afraid of that. Bring your questions. They'll help you. They're trained to say, hey, who are you? What do you like to do? How has God uniquely gifted you? What's your personality like? What are your strengths like? What are your gifts like? Here are places that you can start taking small steps or large steps to take care of God's creation in dramatic ways and to use what he has given you to do that. So you can live your life on purpose. You know, Jesus' example is so incredible with this. Here is Jesus in unity with God the Father, God the Spirit. Here he is in heaven enjoying the best of everything, watching his creation, willing to live his life on purpose. He leaves all of that comfort, all that stuff he enjoys so much, he leaves it and takes on the form of his own creation, limited by the body he lives in, so that you and I could be restored into a relationship with God. So that you and I could have what he had, that oneness with the Father. So he left everything, came here so that you and I could have oneness with God. Yeah, amen. That's pretty incredible. That's why we celebrate communion. It's not so a little snack at the end of an hour of church. Oh, let's have a little snack. No, it's so that we can have that moment of intimacy with Jesus who said, I have a purpose for you. But in order for you to understand your purpose, I have lived out my purpose. And that was to restore you to a relationship of oneness with God, your creator. And we get to experience that intimate time together. And that's why he's given these symbols to us to say this is his blood and his body and saying this is the sacrifice that he made. And our communion is open to all believers. We encourage you to have a time as to grab a cup of juice and a bread and focus and pray and thank God for what he has given you, that he lives out the purpose that he intended and that he's called you. He hasn't left you with an empty life, but he's called you to a purpose. And then we're going to receive an offering, and I love this part of worship because it's together as we say, we want to make our world different. We want to care for God's creation. How do we do that? Together. See, you and I alone can do some things, but together we can adopt an entire village, which we did. Our Christmas Eve offering went to pay for a church planter, a school building, all that's being built right now. And tomorrow morning, Pastor Glenn, Pastor Robin, Pastor David, and Melissa Swanson are all going down to capture video, to see the progress, to interview people in this village so that you and I can begin and prepare in the next couple months for the opportunity to adopt the children of this village, not just to give them a handout, to say, oh, you're poor, we need to help you, but to see their lives transformed, to educate them, to pour into their lives so that their community becomes transformed and changed. That happens when a church lives its purpose. And its purpose is not just about filling this building. Its purpose is about caring for God's creation, whether it's here in Tucson or around the world. That's what we do. That's what we're doing. And that's what you are a part of. Together, we're not alone. We're in oneness with God. We're in oneness with each other. Let's pray. God, your amazing story of oneness and desire to be united with us and have us united with you as your creation is I just can't understand it sometimes. It's just so big and so vast. But yet I know, I read it, I see it. It comes to life in Scripture. That's what you desire. God, I pray for us as we're sitting here as individuals. Some of us have no idea of what you want us to do, how you want us to accomplish it, how you've gifted us and how that can be translated in taking care of your world. God, I pray that you help us take the next step. Not to see the final progress, God, but to take the next step of how we live that life on purpose. And God, I pray for the marriages that are here. Whatever the situation, God, that you would begin to speak into those relationships. that you would speak purpose and you would speak clearly and you would help couples to get focused on what you have called them to do so that we can see our world become different and cared for and loved. In Jesus' name, amen.